This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين. وأشهد أن نبينا محمد عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد. So this is the second day in the reading and the commentary of the famous book of Tafsir, Tafsir al-Karim al-Rahman fi Tafsir Kalam al-Mannan, more famously known as the Tafsir of al-Sa'di, by the Imam and the author and the scholar Abdurrahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di, who died in the year 1376 of the Hijra, rahimahullah ta'ala bi rahmatihi al-wasi'a. And we are currently on the Tafsir of Surah al-Jathiyah, verse number 27.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulih, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. اللهم اغفر لنا ولشيخنا ولوالدينا وللحاضرين. قال المصنف رحمهم الله في تفسير قوله الله تعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولله ملك السماوات والأرض ويوم تقوم الساعة يومئذ يخسر المبطلون. To Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. On the day when the hour begins, on that day the followers of falsehood will be the losers. وَتَرَى كُلَّ أُمَّةٍ جَاثِيَةٍ كُلُّ أُمَّةٍ تُدْعَى إِلَى كِتَابِهَا الْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. You will see every community on its knees. Every community will be called to its book, and it will be said, today you will be requited for what you used to do. هذا كتابنا ينطق عليكم بالحق إنا كنا نستنسخ ما كنتم تعملون. This book of ours will testify against you truthfully, for we used to put on record all that you did. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَيُدْخِلُهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْمُبِينَ. And for those who believed and did righteous deeds, their Lord will admit them to His mercy. This is the clearest triumph.
وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَفَلَمْ تَكُنْ آيَاتِي تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ وَكُنْتُمْ قَوْمًا مُجْرِمِينَ.
As for those who disbelieved, it will be said to them, were not my revelations recited to you, but you showed arrogance and were wicked people.
وَإِذَا قِيلَ إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ وَالسَّاعَةُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا قُلْتُمْ مَا نَدْرِي مَا السَّاعَةُ إِنَّ ظُنُّ إِلَّا ظَنًّا وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُسْتَيْقِنِينَ.
When it was said to you, verily the promise of Allah is true and there is no doubt about the hour, you said, we do not know what the hour is. We think it is just a matter of conjecture, but we are not entirely certain.
وَبَدَى لَهُمْ سَيِّئَاتُ مَا عَمِلُوا وَحَاقَ بِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ.
The evil consequences of what they have done will become apparent to them, and the very thing
punishment they used to ridicule will overtake them, will overwhelm them.
وقيل اليوم ننساكم كما نسيتم لقاء يومكم هذا ومأواكم النار وما لكم من ناصرين.
It will be said to them, today we will forget you as you forgot that you would ever meet this day of yours. Your abode will be the fire and you will have no helpers.
ذلكم بأنكم اتخذتم آيات الله هزوا وغرتكم الحياة الدنيا فاليوم لا يخرجون منها ولا هم يستعتبون.
This is because you made a mockery of Allah's revelation and you were deceived by the life of this world. So on that day they will not be brought forth from it the fire, nor will they be allowed to make amends.
فلله الحمد رب السماوات ورب الأرض رب العالمين.
So praise be to Allah, Lord of the heavens and Lord of the earth, Lord of the worlds.
وله الكبرياء في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم.
To him belongs all supremacy in the heavens and on earth, and he is the Almighty, most wise. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of the vastness of his dominion, and that he alone controls it at all times, and that on the day when the hour begins, all creatures are gathered on the day of resurrection, the followers of falsehood will be the losers. Those who came up with false arguments in an attempt to refute the truth thereby, their deeds are invalid because they are based on falsehood, thus they will become invalid on the day of resurrection, the day on which all facts will become clear and all false arguments will avail them nothing, and they will miss out on the reward and will receive a painful punishment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the intensity of the day of resurrection and how terrifying it will be, so as to warn people of it and so that they may prepare for it. You will see on that day every community on its knees in fear and panic awaiting the judgment of the most gracious sovereign.
This is the tafsir of the majority of the scholars of tafsir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah, towards the very end of this surah, now the last passage of this surah, we take the name of the surah from this verse, Al-Jathiyah, and that is that Allah Azza wa Jalla says that on Yawmul Qiyamah, the people, mankind, as they stand and they wait for the accounting to begin, we have in the sunnah different types of descriptions as to what takes place before the accounting begins, how the people will be drowned in their own sweat, how the people will be waiting for the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fear and panic. And from the descriptions that we have is this verse, وَتَرَى كُلَّ أُمَّةٍ جَاثِيَةً. Every single nation will be on its knees in fear and panic, as the author said, rahimahullah ta'ala. They will be on their knees waiting for that moment that Allah azza wa jalla will come and he will pass judgment upon them. So it will be a day of fear and a day of terror and a day when the people will be extremely frightened, except for those that Allah Azza wa Jalla makes them secure on that day. And that is only the believers, because the angels will be with them throughout that process and telling them that there is no fear upon you. For you there is no fear. So for everyone else, this will be their state. That there will be every ummah, meaning every nation of every prophet that came, will be on its knees out of fear.
Every community will be called to its book, that is, to the law of its prophet who came to them from Allah. Did they comply with it and thus attain reward and salvation, or did they neglect it and thus incur loss? The nation of Musa will be called to the law of Musa. The nation of Isa will be called likewise, and the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be called likewise. Each nation will be called to the law that it was enjoined to follow. This is one of the possible meanings of this verse, and it is undoubtedly sound and valid in and of itself.
This is the first position amongst the scholars of tafsir. هذا كتابنا ينطق عليكم بالحق. This is the book that every single community will be called towards, meaning each prophet brought his sharia. All of those sharias, they agreed and united upon the issue of tawheed, worshipping Allah alone. But every prophet had his own laws. Every prophet came with his own sharia in terms of the rulings that they were told, the halal and the haram. So each ummah will be called forth and told, did you follow this book? That's one tafsir, that this is the book that's referring to, the book of the dunya, the revelation of the dunya. That's one position. The author will now mention the other position, which is that it's referring to the record of deeds.
Or it may be that what is meant by the words, every community will be called to its book, is that every community will be called to the record of its deeds and what was written down of its actions, both good and evil, and each person will be required for what he himself has done. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever does righteous deeds, it is to his own benefit, and whoever does evil deeds is to his own detriment.
Meaning the other tafsir, that when Allah Azza wa Jalla calls people to the book is your book of deeds, your record of deeds. Allah is going to judge you based upon what you did. And both of those positions, both of those explanations of tafsir are correct and valid. Because your deeds, Allah will judge you upon your deeds. Those deeds are based upon what the prophets brought in terms of revelation. How do we know something's permissible in Islam, not permissible? Based on revelation. So Allah Azza wa Jalla will call you towards that book. Did you uphold the revelation that Allah sent down? And then as a result, the deeds that you did, that record of deeds, does it conform to that revelation or does it go against that revelation?
Or it may be that both meanings are intended. This is indicated by the words, the book of ours will testify against you truthfully. That is, this book of ours that we sent down to you will judge between you on the basis of truth, which is justice. For we used to put on record all that you did. This refers to the book of deeds.
As we mentioned yesterday, the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, his methodology in tafsir, and it's a methodology that you will find among some of the scholars of tafsir, and it's a good methodology, is always reconciled. When you have two positions amongst the scholars of tafsir, and both of them, it's possible that both of them are correct, then don't dismiss one. Don't just say, no, that one's wrong, or this one's stronger. No, both of them are correct. Because both meanings, the verse speaks about both meanings. So when you can do that, this is what the author always does. He goes for the most general meaning of the verse and he reconciles between the positions of the early scholars of tafsir.
Hence Allah explains how he would deal with the two parties as he says, as for those who believed and did righteous deeds, that is, they held sound beliefs and confirmed their faith with righteous deeds, both obligatory and recommended, their Lord will admit them to his mercy, the location of which is paradise, with all that it contains of eternal delights and life of ease. This is the clearest triumph. That is, clear triumph, salvation, gain and success, which if a person attains it, he has attained all that is good and warded off all that is bad.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what is the greatest and clearest of success and triumph? Jannah. So even in the dunya, if you find it difficult or you don't get the blessings that other people get, or you don't get the success that other people may have, that's not true success. True success is this success that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions. Those who will be entered into Jannah, those that will receive Allah's reward in Jannah, ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْمُبِينَ. That is the clear success. The success of the Akhirah, not the success of the dunya.
And as for those who disbelieved in Allah, it will be said to them by way of rebuke and chastisement, were not my revelations recited to you, which showed you that which was in your best interest and forbade to you that which was harmful to you? This was a great blessing that reached you. If you had wanted to attain it, but you were too arrogant to accept it, and you turned away from it and disbelieved in it, thus you committed the greatest offense and worst crime. So today you will be required for what you used to do. They will also be rebuked by the words when it was said to you, verily the promise of Allah is true, and there is no doubt about the hour, you said. You said, denying it. We do not know what the hour is. We think it is just a matter of conjecture, but we are not eternally certain. This is how they were in this world and will be at the time of resurrection. They will continue to deny it and reject the words of those who told them about it.
If you were to look throughout the Quran, the statements of the disbelievers when they rejected the call of the prophets, you'll often see that they had two or three major issues that caused them to reject their prophets. The first is the issue of Tawheed. They couldn't understand why they should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And they would often say that our forefathers, our ancestors used to follow their gods. They used to worship more than one god. That was the first issue that they had, the issue of Tawheed, they couldn't accept. The second issue that they couldn't accept is this one that's mentioned here. And that is the Akhirah, that there's going to be a resurrection. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in many places in the Quran that they say that when we're bones and we're turned to dust in our graves, will Allah then resurrect us, bring us again to life? So they had a problem with resurrection. They couldn't believe that Allah could bring people back to life once they had died. And the third issue that they had was with the prophets that Allah sent, because the prophets were not the most powerful of their people or the richest of their people. So they used to say, if Allah was going to choose a prophet or a messenger, why not send down an angel? And if he was going to choose it from the humans, then why not choose the most wealthy or the most powerful or the most noble? Why choose just someone else from the community? And so these three things you will often find in the Quran that they are repeated. So here Allah Azza wa Jalla says, one of the major reasons why these people disbelieved, why Allah is going to punish them, is they wouldn't believe in the Akhirah. And if Allah said, believe in the Akhirah, the hour is coming, Yawm al-Qiyamah is coming, they would say, we don't know what that means. What's the Akhirah? What's this day of judgment that you speak about? So they would have a big issue with believing in resurrection. And that's why the Quran, the Sunnah especially, often focuses on those two pillars of faith. Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm al-akhir. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day. Because those were the two big issues that they had. Didn't believe in Allah alone, didn't believe in resurrection. So the Prophet used to often say this, if you believe in Allah, you believe in the last day, then do this or don't do that, or stay away from this or do that.
The evil consequences of what they have done will become apparent to them. That is, on the day of resurrection, the punishment for their deeds will become clear to them. And the very thing, punishment they used to ridicule, will overwhelm them. That is, befall them. In other words, the punishment that they used to ridicule and mock in this world will befall them. It will be said to them, today we will forget you, that is, we will leave you in the punishment, as you forgot that you would ever meet this day of yours. For the requital fits the nature of the deeds.
And this is also something common that is mentioned in a number of places in the Quran. And that is that Allah Azza wa Jal will say to the people of the fire that day, just as you were heedless, you forgot Tawheed, revelation, you were heedless of Islam in the dunya, then today you'll also be forgotten. As Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in the verses that we already covered in Surah Taha, that they will be resurrected blind. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, they will say to Allah, oh Allah, we used to see in the dunya, why are we blind today? Meaning in the Akhirah. And Allah says, because you were blind to our revelation. So today we will also be blind towards you, meaning that we will neglect you. And that is the worst type of punishment and humiliation, just to be disregarded, to be ignored, not even to be looked at, not even to be noticed. That's from the worst types of punishment that they will suffer on that day.
Your abode will be the fire. That is, it is your destination and your fate. And you will have no helpers to protect you from the punishment of Allah and ward off His wrath from you. That which will befall you of punishment is because you made a mockery of Allah's revelation. Even though they should have motivated you to strive hard and try your best, and you should have received them with joy. And you were deceived by the life of this world, with all its adornments, pleasures, and desires. So you were at ease with it and strove for it, and you failed to strive for the eternal realm. So on that day, there will not be brought forth from it the fire, nor will they be allowed to make amends. They will not be given any respite, and they will not be sent back to this world so that they can do righteous deeds. So praise be to Allah, as befits His majesty and immense power, Lord of the heavens and Lord of the earth, Lord of the worlds. That is, to Him be praise for His lordship and care for all creatures as He created them and cares for them and bestows blessings upon them, both visible and hidden. To Him belongs all supremacy in the heavens and on earth. That is, to Him belong majesty, greatness, and glory. This is praising Allah for His perfect attributes, His love and honor and supremacy that reflects greatness and majesty. Worship is based on two foundations, love of Allah and humility towards Him, both of which stem from knowledge of the praiseworthy attributes, majesty and supremacy of Allah. And He is the Almighty, who subdues all things, most wise, who does all that is appropriate, so whatever He prescribes is for a wise reason and in order to achieve beneficial interest, and whatever He creates is for a purpose. This is the end of the commentary of Surah Al-Jathiyah. All praise and thanks are for Allah, and may the blessings and peace of Allah be upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family and his companions abundantly until the Day of Judgment.
We now come into the 46th chapter of the Quran, which is Surah Al-Ahqaf, and it is the final Surah of the Hawameem, the final Surah that begins with Hameem. And it is a Makki Surah according to the majority of the scholars of Tafsir, and some of them said by Ijma', by consensus. It is known famously by this name Al-Ahqaf, and it is a name that was found amongst the Tabi'een and the early scholars such as Az-Zuhri and others, that they refer to this surah as Ahqaf, or as we said, Hameem Al-Ahqaf. as is often the case in these Hamim surahs, that they would put the words Hamim at the beginning and then the name of the surah. This surah Al-Ahqaf, the word Ahqaf is the plural of the word Hiqf in Arabic. And Hiqf is a large sand dune. It's a large sand dune. So if you go to certain parts of the desert, especially this area that Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to mention, because Ahqaf is the area where the people of Hud alayhi salam lived, the nation of Ad. They lived in a place between Yemen and what is today modern day Saudi Arabia, the area that is often referred to today as the empty quarter. It's like a big, immense amount of desert. If you go to those places, sometimes you see major dunes. They're like mountains in terms of how big they are. That in Arabic is called a hiqf. Ahqaf is the plural, dunes. And so these people, the people of Hud alayhi salam, the nation of Ad, they used to live around that area. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla, in the nations that Allah mentions in the Quran, sometimes He refers to them by their prophets, sometimes He refers to them by their names, the names of their nations, and sometimes He refers to them by their location where they lived. As we mentioned previously, Surah Al-Hijr. Al-Hijr is where the people of Thamud, the people of Salih alayhi salam, that's where they lived. So Allah Azza wa Jalla sometimes refers to them by their name, sometimes refers to them by their location. In this surah, Allah will mention the people of Hud alayhi salam, and He will refer to them by the location that they lived. And we'll speak about this in more detail, inshallah, when we come on to these verses. And this surah consists of 35 verses.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. Hamim. Hamim. تنزيل الكتاب من الله العزيز الحكيم. The revelation of the book is from Allah, the Almighty, the Most Wise. ما خلقنا السماوات والأرض وما بينهما إلا بالحق وأجل مسمى والذين كفروا عما أنذروا معرضون. We have not created the heavens and the earth and all that is between them except for a true purpose and for an appointed term. But those who disbelieve pay no heed to the warning that is given to them. This is praise and veneration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His book, highlighting its dignity and implicitly telling people to seek guidance by its light. Focus on pondering its verses and extract its treasures. Having referred to the revelation of His book that contains commands and prohibitions, Allah now mentions this, His creation of the heavens and the earth, thus combining the creation and the command. Verily, this is the creation and the command. This is like the verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "It is Allah who created seven heavens and of the earth the like thereof. His decree descends throughout them. And he sends down the angels with His revelation by His command to whomever among His slaves He wills, saying, proclaim that there is no God but I, so fear me. He created the heavens and the earth for a true purpose."
The author rahimahu wa ta'ala says, if you look at these two verses at the beginning of Surah Al-Ahqaf, Allah mentions revelation first, tanzeerul kitab, the revelation of the Quran, and then in verse 3, ma khalaqna as-samawati wal-ard, then He mentions the creation of the heavens and the earth. And this is something which is very common in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla often joins between these two greatest signs of Allah, the signs of revelation, the signs of Allah's creation. But always in the Quran, more or less every single time, which one comes first? Revelation or creation? It's always revelation. Allah always begins with revelation, and then He mentions creation to show you to its importance, because many people can appreciate creation. Even non-Muslims, people that don't believe, and so people can appreciate the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can appreciate nature and the universe and so on. But only the believers, because of the revelation that Allah gave to them and the signs of Allah azza wa jalla that Allah mentioned, do they truly contemplate and appreciate the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sense that it brings them closer to Allah, increases them in iman. They are signs of the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His names and attributes, His majesty and His supremacy. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla often joins between the two. And there are many examples, and we will see inshallah when we come to Surah Ar-Rahman, towards the very end of the Quran, Surah Al-Alaq. Allah Azza wa Jalla often mentions revelation and creation. And revelation is always mentioned first, and then creation second.
It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created those who are accountable, and He created their dwellings and made to be of service to them all that is in the heavens and on earth. Then He sent His messengers to them and sent down to them His books. He sent His commands and prohibitions to them and told them that this realm is a realm of striving and a place for those who strive to pass through. It is not a place of settlement that people will never leave. Rather, they will move on from it to the place of settlement and eternal abode. And they will find the reward for their deeds in this realm waiting for them in full in that realm. Thus Allah establishes proof that points to that realm and gives people a taste of reward and punishment in this world, so as to motivate them to seek what they love and flee from what they fear. Therefore He says here, "We have not created the heavens and the earth and all that is between them except for a true purpose. That is, we have not created them without purpose or in vain. Rather, it is so that people will come to know the greatness of the creator thereof and find evidence of His perfect attributes, and so that they may come to know that the one who created both realms, despite their vastness, is able to recreate people after their death in order to requite them, and that their creation and life is limited for an appointed term. Having told us of that, and He is the most truthful of speakers, and thus established proof and lighted the way, Allah now tells us that despite that, some people insist on turning away from the truth and turning away from the call of the messengers. As He says, but those who disbelieve pay no heed to the warning that is given to them. As for those who believe, when they came to know the truth, they responded to the commands of their Lord, accepted the truth, and submitted with humility and veneration. Thus they attain all that is good, and all that is evil was warded off from them.
قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقُوا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ أَمْ لَهُمْ شِرْكٌ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ إِيتُونِي بِكِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلِ هَذَا أَوْ أَثَارَةٍ مِّنْ عِلْمٍ إِن كُنتُمْ صَادِقِينَ
Say, tell me about those on whom you call besides Allah. Show me what they have created on the earth, or do they have any share in the heavens? Bring me proof from a book revealed before this, or some remnant of knowledge if you are telling the truth.
وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ مِمَّنْ يَدْعُو مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَنْ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ لَهُ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَهُمْ عَنْ دُعَائِهِمْ غَافِلُونَ
So who is more astray than one who calls upon besides Allah, those who will not answer him until the day of resurrection and are oblivious to his call.
وَإِذَا حُشِرَ النَّاسُ كَانُوا لَهُمْ أَعْدَاءً وَكَانُوا بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ كَافِرِينَ
When humankind are gathered on the day of resurrection, they will become their enemies and will reject their worship of them. Say to these people who associate idols and rivals in worship with Allah, which have no power to bring benefit or cause harm or to cause death, give life or resurrect. Say to them, highlighting the helplessness of their idols and pointing out that they do not deserve anything of worship. Tell me about those on whom you call besides Allah. Show me what they have created on the earth, or do they have any share in the heavens? Have they created any of the heavenly bodies or any of the creatures on earth? Have they created mountains? Have they caused rivers to flow? Have they scattered animals throughout the earth? Have they caused trees to grow? Did they help in the creation of any of these things? They have done none of these things by their own admission, let alone the admission of anyone else. This offers definitive, rational evidence that the worship of anything other than Allah is invalid.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this surah by mentioning these two points, as we said. Revelation, creation. Then Allah azza wa jalla is now going to challenge those who worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have gods besides Allah on both of these points. And Allah begins with creation. Allah Azza wa Jal says that all of this that you see, the heavens and the earth and everything that it contains, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it. If the gods that you worship besides Allah are true gods, then tell me which part of the heavens and the earth did they create? What share do they have? Did they create this part of the earth, that part of the heavens? Show me which part, point to it. What did they create besides Allah Azza wa Jal? The heavens, the earth, the mountains, the humans, all of these creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which one did they create if they are true gods and lords besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Allah Azza wa Jal begins first by challenging them about creation. And then in the next verses, Allah Azza wa Jal will speak about revelation and challenge them concerning that as well.
Moreover, there is no textual evidence. Bring me proof from a book revealed before this, namely a book that promotes the association of others with Allah, or some remnant of knowledge inherited from the messengers that enjoins that.
Meaning, you can't just make this up. You can't just come and say, yeah, my God did this and did that. No, you have to bring proof. Either bring revelation like the Quran, similar to the Quran, that also shows that your gods created besides Allah Azza wa Jal, or bring some remnant of knowledge, meaning some long-lasting knowledge that has come from the prophets and messengers that you can trace back and say, no, Ibrahim said, no, Musa said, no, Isa said, and this is what you can use as evidence. So you can't just make it up. We have the Quran, the book of Allah. Bring something similar to show that your gods also created besides Allah. And as we know, most of those religions, especially in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quraysh and so on, they didn't have any books, they didn't have any type of revelation that they could refer to in terms of these issues.
It is well known that they are incapable of bringing any evidence to that effect from any of the messengers. In fact, we are confident and certain that all the messengers promoted the affirmation of the oneness of their Lord, and they forbade associating others with him. This is the greatest knowledge that is narrated from them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, we sent to every nation a messenger, saying, worship Allah alone and shun false gods. And every messenger said to his people, worship Allah, you have no God but He. Thus it is known that the argument that the polytheists give for their association of partners with Allah is not based on proof or evidence. Rather, they rely on false notions, ill-founded opinions, and corrupt reasonings. What indicates that their argument is invalid is studying their stories, finding out about their knowledge and deeds, and examining the situation of those who spent their lifetimes worshipping false gods. Did it benefit them at all in this world or in the hereafter? Hence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who is more astray than one who calls upon besides Allah, those who will not answer him until the day of resurrection, that is for the duration of his stay on earth, and they do not benefit him even an atom's weight, and are oblivious to his call, for they do not hear or respond to any call. This is how they are in this world, and on the day of resurrection, they will reject their association of them with Allah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who is worse, who is more astray than the one who calls upon that which can't hear, can't respond? They call upon them as gods besides Allah, making dua, supplicating, asking for things, asking, seeking blessings and so on. And they can't hear you and they can't respond. إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ Until the day of judgment. They're dead or they don't exist in the first place, or they're just stones or rocks or whatever they are. They can't hear you, they can't respond to you. Till the day of judgment. And on the day of judgment, what will they do? They will either be thrown into the fire. If they call to worship of themselves, they will be thrown into the fire. Or they're going to absolve themselves and say, we didn't say that, like Isa alayhi salam and others that will worship besides Allah. They'll say, no, as Allah mentions in the Quran, we didn't say worship us, the angels. Allah will ask them, did you command people to worship you? They will say, no, Allah, we never told people to worship us. So either they will absolve themselves of them, or if they did call to that same worship, then they also will be punished by Allah and thrown into the fire.
When humankind are gathered on the day of resurrection, they will become their enemies. They will curse one another and disavow one another. And they, the false gods, will reject their worship of them.
They will reject their worship of them because they will say, you know, we never asked anyone to worship us, O Allah. As Isa alayhi salam mentions him and his mother, Maryam. They will say, we didn't call anyone to worship us besides Allah. The angels will say the same. All of those people that were worshipped, that didn't want to be worshipped. The sun, the moon. These are creations of Allah. They never called for their worship. And if someone did or something did, then they will also be cast into the fire because they are also going to be from those that are punished by Allah Azza wa Jal.
وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا بَيِّنَاتٍ قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلْحَقِّ لَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ هَذَا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ
When our clear revelations are recited to them, those who disbelieve say of the truth when it comes to them, this is obviously magic.
أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَاهُ قُلْ إِنِ افْتَرَيْتُهُ فَلَا تَمْلِكُونَ لِي مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تُفِيضُونَ فِيهِ كَفَى بِهِ شَهِيدًا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ
Or do they say he has fabricated it himself? Say, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I did fabricate it, then there is nothing you can do to shield me from the punishment of Allah. He knows best what you utter against him. Sufficient is he as a witness between me and you, and he is the all forgiving, most merciful.
قُلْ مَا كُنْتُ بِدْعًا مِّنَ الرُّسُلِ وَمَا أَدْرِي مَا يُفْعَلُ بِي وَلَا بِكُمْ إِنْ أَتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيَّ وَمَا أَنَا إِلَّا نَذِيرٌ مُّبِينٌ
Say, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm not the first of the messengers, and I do not know what will happen to me or to you. I only follow what is revealed to me, and I am but a clear warner.
قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَكَفَرْتُمْ بِهِ وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَى مِثْلِهِ فَآمَنَ وَاسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ
Say, what do you think? If it, the Quran is really from Allah, but you reject it, what if a witness from among the children of Israel has testified in its favor and has believed, whilst you remain arrogant? Verily, Allah does not guide people who are given to wrongdoing. That is, when our clear revelations are recited to the disbelievers in such a way that they cannot doubt them, that does not benefit them, rather proof is established against them thereby. And they say, by way of fabrication of the truth when it comes to them, this is obviously magic. That is, it is clearly and undoubtedly magic. This is a kind of turning the facts upside down, but no one can be fooled by that except those who are weak in reasoning. Otherwise, the difference between the truth that was brought by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and magic is greater than the distance between heaven and earth.
So Allah Azza wa Jalla is now challenging them about the second thing. So the first issue was creation. Allah Azza wa Jalla said to them, if someone else created any parts of the heaven and the earth, show me and bring your evidence. And these gods that you call upon besides Allah, they can't hear you and they can't respond to you. Now Allah Azza wa Jalla is speaking about revelation. This is the second thing that they didn't accept. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that when we recite to them the clear verses of the Quran, the clear verses that are given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what do? They reject it. How do they reject it? They can't bring something similar. They can't argue against it. So what will they do? They will just make false labels. They will criticize it. They will say it's magic. They will say he's crazy. They will say he's a poet. So they will attack, but with no substance.
How can the truth, which is as sublime as the stars and whose light surpasses that of the sun, and is supported by evidence in the universe and in their own selves, and is affirmed and accepted by people of insight and mature thinking, be compared with falsehoods such as magic, which only comes from misguided wrongdoers who are evil at heart and evil in their deeds? So it is appropriate for them and suits their condition. Or do they say he has fabricated it himself? That is, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has fabricated this Quran, and it is not from Allah. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to them, if I fabricate it, then Allah has power over me and he has knowledge of your plan and what you say about it. So why has he not punished me for fabricating it as you claim?
Allah Azza wa Jal says here that if they say then that they don't accept the Quran, they have to give a reason for the Quran. They have to justify where did the Quran come from. If it's not from Allah, from whom? So either they will say that it's from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, that he made it up. And if he did, then there is an implicit challenge in that. To say to them, they bring something similar to the Quran. He's a human like you, he's a man like you, so bring something similar. If he can do it, you do it. And he was illiterate, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, didn't have the resources that they had, wasn't known to be a poet before Islam, wasn't known for his poetry or his eloquence in that way. And so bring something similar to the Quran. And if it's from him, then where did he get it from? Either he took it from someone else. Who did he take it from? Where did it come from? So this is the challenge that Allah Azza wa Jal gives to them. And if it was to be falsely fabricated because they believed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful, if someone is going to come and falsely fabricate and ascribe something to Allah, don't you think that Allah would punish them? Don't you think that Allah Azza wa Jal would send down upon him some punishment if he was lying about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Is there anything you can do to shield me from the punishment of Allah? If it be his will to harm me or to have mercy on me. Sufficient is he as a witness between me and you. If I was making it up, he would have seized me by my right hand and punished me with a punishment that would be seen by all, because this is the worst type of fabrication, if I were really attributing it falsely to him. Then Allah caused them to repent, despite what they have done of stubbornly rejecting the truth and disputing it. And he is the oft-forgiving, most merciful. That is, so repent to him and give up what you are doing. He will forgive you your sins, have mercy on you, guide you to all that is good, and reward you immensely. Say, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am not the first of the messengers. That is, I am not the first messenger to come to you, such that you should find my mission strange and find my call odd. There have been previous messengers and prophets whose call was like mine. So why do you object to my message?
And that's also something which is a proof to the truthfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that even though the Quraysh didn't believe in prophets and messengers, they weren't familiar with this concept because they were polytheists, but they lived amongst them and around them, Jews and Christians. Many of the tribes of Arabia had people who had accepted Christianity and Judaism. They were common amongst the Arabs, so they used to mix with them, travel to them, do business with them. In their families, they used to have people that are converted to Christianity, for example. So they had people even in Mecca. In Mecca itself, in the story of the first revelation, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to Khadija radiallahu anha, who does she take him to? Waraqa. Why Waraqa? What was Waraqa known for? He was a scholar of the gospel, a man who had studied the scriptures of the Jews and the Christians. So even in Mecca, you had people like this. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that this isn't the first prophet that was sent. Many prophets came before. So just because you, O Quraysh, aren't familiar with the concept, ask the people around you. The Jews and the Christians, they believe in all of the prophets and messengers, obviously with the exception of the last couple, depending on which religion there is. But they believe from the time of Adam, believe in Nuh, believe in Ibrahim, believe in Musa, Dawood, Sulaiman, all of these prophets of Allah, alayhi salatu wassalam. So it's not something which is unique or something which is irregular or something which has never been heard of before. And so the Quraysh couldn't even dismiss it from this issue either, because they knew that this was something which the other religions also accepted.
And I do not know what will happen to me or to you. That is, I am only human. I have no control over anything, for it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is in control of me and you. And he will decide between me and you. I am not bringing anything of my own record. And I am but a clear warner. If you accept my message and respond to my call, that is your good fortune in this world and the hereafter. But if you reject my message, then your reckoning will be with Allah. I have warned you, and whoever is given a priority warning is left with no excuse. So what do you think? If the Quran is really from Allah, but you reject it, what if a witness from among the children of Israel has testified in its favor and has believed whilst you remain arrogant? That is, tell me if this Quran is from Allah and those who are guided among the people of the book testify to its truth, for they have knowledge of the truth by which they know that it is true. So they believe in it and are guided. And thus it is proven that what the prophets brought was all in harmony, and their followers are people of dignity, whilst you, O ignorant ones, are too arrogant to follow it. Can this be anything but the greatest wrongdoing and worst disbelief? Verily, Allah does not guide people who are given to wrongdoing. Part of wrongdoing is being too arrogant to follow the truth after it comes within reach.
In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verse number 10 says, what if it is from Allah and people from Bani Israel, they accept Islam, they believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so they're witnesses. They say, yes, we were Jews or Christians before, and what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has brought is similar to what Musa alayhi wasallam brought to his people and Isa alayhi wasallam brought to his people. What if one of them was a witness? And as we said at the beginning, the surah is a Makki surah. But some of the scholars said, no, it's Madani. And they said it's Madani because of this verse. Because some of the scholars in the tafsir of this verse, they said that this man of Bani Israel, that's a witness, was the companion Abdullah ibn Salam, radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Salam accepted Islam in Medina. So that's why they say it's a Madani surah. He was from the rabbis of the Jews, from their scholars. And when he came and he sat with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he asked him a number of questions, he realized that he spoke from revelation. So he accepted Islam and he became from the major companions, to the extent that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam promised him paradise. The companions used to say, we used to see Abdullah ibn Salam walking in Medina and we used to know that he's a man of Jannah because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam promised him paradise, radiallahu anhu. So some of the scholars said it's referring to him, and therefore they differed over whether this surah is Makki or Madani. But either way, it's possible that Allah Azza wa Jalla is prophesizing, telling us something that will happen. that the point will come when Allah Azza wa Jal will guide some of Bani Israel, the Jews and the Christians, to Islam. And they will attest to the truthfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah Azza wa Jal, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, praised such people. He said, ثَلَاثٌ يُؤْتَوْنَ أَجْرَهُمْ مَرَّتَيْنِ. Three types of people will be given double the reward. And from those three, one who believes in his Prophet, and then he believes in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning, he followed Isa, he followed Musa, he was on that religion. When he heard of Islam, he accepted Islam. And so Allah will double his reward for believing in both of them.
وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَوْ كَانَ خَيْرًا مَا سَبَقُونَا إِلَيْهِ وَإِذْ لَمْ يَهْتَدُوا بِهِ فَسَيَقُولُونَ هَذَا إِفْقٌ قَدِيمٌ. Those who disbelieve say of those who believe, if it, the Quran, were a good thing, they would not have believed in it before us. Since they have not let themselves be guided by it, they will continue to say, this is an ancient fabrication. وَمِن قَبْلِهِ كِتَابُ مُوسَى إِمَامًا وَرَحْمَةً وَهَذَا كِتَابٌ مُصَدِّقٌ لِسَانًا عَرَبِيًّا لِيُنذِرَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُحْسِنِينَ. But before it came, the book of Musa, which was revealed as a guide and a mercy. This book, which is in the Arabic language, confirms it, warning those who do wrong and bringing glad tidings to those who do good. That is, those who stubbornly disbelieved in the truth and rejected its call said, if it, the Quran, were a good thing, they would not have believed in it before us. That is, the believers would not have beaten us to it. Rather, we would have been the first to embrace it. This is pure nonsense. What evidence is there that the sign of something being the truth is that the rejectors should attain it before the believers? Are they more pure at heart or more perfect in reasoning? Or is there is guidance under their control?
This is from their arrogance. They're saying, the disbelievers to the believers, that if this was the truth, you wouldn't have beaten us to it. We would have believed before you. This is what they used to say, as Abu Jahl and others used to say to the Muslims, that if this was true, then Allah would have chosen one of us to be his prophet and messenger, not Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what they're saying here also, that if it was true, we would have been the first people to accept it, not you. Why? Because we're richer than you, we're nobler than you, we're more powerful than you. This is what they used to consider. So Allah Azza wa Jal is rebutting or refuting this claim of theirs.
Rather, with these words, they were trying to console themselves, like one who fails to attain something, so he begins to criticize it. Hence Allah says, since they have not let themselves be guided by it, they will continue to say, this is an ancient fabrication. That is, this is the reason why they said that about it, because they were not guided by this Quran and they missed out on the greatest blessing. They criticized it by saying that it was a lie when it is undoubtedly true and is in accordance with the previous books, especially the most perfect and most of them and best of them after the Quran, namely the Torah, which Allah sent down to Musa as a guide and a mercy. That is, the children of Israel followed it and were guided by it, and thus it brought them good in this world and the hereafter. This book, namely the Quran, which is in the Arabic language, so that it is easy to approach and understand, confirms it. That is, it confirms the previous books and testifies in their favor by being in harmony with them, warning those who do wrong, that is, who wrong themselves by indulging in disbelief, immorality, and sin. If they persist in their wrongdoing, it warns them of a grave punishment. But it gives glad tidings to those who do good by worshipping the Creator and being kind to others, of a great reward in this world and the hereafter. It mentions the deeds that it warns against and the deeds for which it gives glad tidings.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ.
Verily those who say our Lord is Allah, then remain steadfast, will have no fear, nor will they grieve.
أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ.
They will be the inhabitants of paradise. They will abide therein forever as a reward for what they used to do. That is, those who acknowledge their Lord, testify to his oneness, and are constant in their obedience to him, then remain steadfast, all their lives will have no fear of any turmoil that lies ahead of them, nor will they grieve over whatever they leave behind. They will be the inhabitants of paradise, that is, they will be its people who abide therein, who will never want to leave it or desire anything else. They will abide therein forever as a reward for what they used to do, or of believing in Allah, which required them to do the righteous deeds in which they remain steadfast.
وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا حملته أمه كرها ووضعته كرها وحمله وفصاله 30 شهرا حتى إذا بلغ أشده وبلغ 40 سنة قال رب أوزعني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي وأن أعمل صالحا ترضاه وأصلح لي في ذريتي إني تبت إليك وإني من المسلمين.
We have enjoined upon man kindness to his parents. With hardship, his mother bears him, and with hardship she brings him forth. And his bearing and weaning take 30 months. Then when he reaches his prime and reaches the age of 40, he says, O my Lord, inspire me to be constantly grateful for you, blessing that you have bestowed upon me, my parents, and do righteous deeds with which you will be pleased, and establish righteousness among my offspring for me. Verily, I repent to you, and verily, I am one of those who submit to Allah in Islam.
أولئك الذين نتقبل عنهم أحسن ما عملوا ونتجاوز عن سيئاتهم في أصحاب الجنة وعد الصدق الذي كانوا يوعدون.
Such are the ones from whom we will accept their righteous deeds and overlook their bad deeds. They will be among the inhabitants of paradise, a true promise that has been given to them. Because of this kindness towards his slaves and his appreciation towards parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoins and instructs children to treat their parents kindly by speaking to them gently and nicely, spending on them and other ways of showing kindness.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this passage now will speak about parents and their rights, and Allah azza wa jalla will give the example of two types of children with regards to their parents. The first of them are those who are dutiful to their parents, who honor them, respect them, obey them. And the second are those who dishonor them, disrespect them, disobey them. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will mention both here. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes into detail here concerning this issue shows to us its importance, which we already know from a number of verses in the Quran, because the issue of honoring your parents and obeying them and respecting them is something which is repeated in a number of places in the Quran. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the rights of the people, after the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla, when it comes to the rights of creation, there is no greater, more important right than the rights of the parents. As is mentioned not only in the Quran, but in the Sunnah. They said, O Messenger of Allah, what is the greatest of deeds? He said, to offer your salah at its correct time, meaning to fulfill the rights of Allah. They said, what next? He said, birrul walidain, to be good to your parents. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would say to those people who traveled to him, they would leave behind their families, they would leave behind their wealth, they would leave behind their parents, and they would come to make jihad with him, or they would migrate towards him. He would say to them, what about your parents? Did they agree? Did they give you permission? And they said, no, Messenger of Allah. Some of them said no. So he said, go back and strive for them instead. And that's why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the hadith praised the man Uwais al-Qarni, rahimahullah ta'ala, from the tabi'een. Lived in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, accepted Islam, lived in Yemen, but never came to Medina, so he's not a companion. And so when he spoke, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about Uwais al-Qarni to the companions, he said, this is a man that if he were to make dua, Allah would accept his dua. So if one of you meet him, then ask him to seek forgiveness for you, that Allah showers his forgiveness upon you. And one of the reasons why Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed him and honored him in that way, in the hadith it's mentioned, is because he had an elderly mother that he couldn't leave. So he spent his time serving her, looking after her, honoring her, as opposed to leaving her by herself and traveling, coming to Medina. Even though the station of companionship, being a sahabi, meeting the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, everyone knows its virtue and its status and its reward. but he sacrificed because he knew that he had a responsibility. So Allah Azza wa Jal gave him something else in its place. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam praised him. So this passage is a passage that speaks about the importance of being dutiful towards one's parents.
Then he points out the reason for that by mentioning what the mother has to go through of hardship because of a child, such as hardship during pregnancy, then the hardship of birth, which is very painful, then the hardship of breastfeeding and looking after the child at that time. The things mentioned do not last for a short time, 1 or 2 hours, rather they go on for a long time, 30 months. Pregnancy lasts 9 months or so, and the remainder of that time is for breastfeeding. This refers to what is usually the case. This verse, along with the verse, mothers may breastfeed their children for 2 whole years, is quoted as evidence that the minimum length of pregnancy is 6 months, because if the period of breastfeeding, which is 2 years, is subtracted from 30 months, that what is left is 6 months for pregnancy.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he mentions why one should honor their parents, it is enough what is mentioned in this verse, and that is that the time and the effort and the difficulty of being pregnant with a child for the mother, then giving birth to that child, then breastfeeding that child, looking after that child until it reaches an age when it can start to manage its own affairs, that in itself is enough of a reason to spend a lifetime of service towards one's parents. And Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions here that at the very least, it's going to be around 30 months. If someone is pregnant for 6 months, which is usually the minimum term of pregnancy, and then for the next 2 years, they're going to be looking after that child. And if they're pregnant for 9 months, then they're still going to be looking after that child for at least another 18, 20 months. So 2-3 years go by where that mother has nothing else. She leaves her house, she stays at home, day, night, sick, healthy, whatever the circumstances are, she has to look after that child, and she sacrifices for that child. For 2, 3, 4, 5 years of her life go by, and maybe she has after that one child, another child, and another one. So she spends a good deal of her age, her life, looking after those young children until they reach a good age. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla says, that is enough of a reason for you to respect and honor your parents.
Then when he reaches his prime, that is the pinnacle of his youth and intellect, and reaches the age of 40 years, he says, O my Lord, inspire me, that is, guide me and help me to be constantly grateful for your blessing that you have bestowed upon me and my parents, that is, spiritual blessings and worldly blessings. Gratitude means using those blessings in obedience to the one who bestowed them and granted them, and responding to his blessings by acknowledging and admitting one's inability to give proper thanks, and striving to praise Allah for them. A blessing to the parents is a blessing to their children and descendants, because they will inevitably get some of them and some of their effects, especially the blessings of religious commitment, because the righteousness of the parents that is based on knowledge and deeds is one of the main reasons for the righteousness of their children.
So look at this person, this child now, who understands the role of their parents. Allah Azza wa Jalla says when they reach their prime, meaning they're old enough now, they reach maturity, and then they reach the age of 40, which is considered to be the age of wisdom, when many of the prophets, Allah Azza wa Jalla, will send them to their people at the age of 40. When they reach that age, they turn to Allah and they thank Allah and they praise Him, not only for the blessings that He bestowed upon them, but on their parents that came before. Because they know that for many of us, we were born as Muslims, is because Allah Azza wa Jalla guided our parents to Islam, and maybe their parents, and who knows how many generations. So Allah Azza wa Jalla gave us an amazing blessing that we didn't have to search for the truth, we didn't have to go and find Islam, we were from a different culture or religion where it's going to be difficult for us to accept Islam. Allah made that journey easy for us. We were born upon La ilaha illallah, and we understood its importance. That is from the greatest blessings of Allah that He not only bestowed upon me and you, but our parents before. So the righteousness of the parents often leads to the righteousness of the children. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions this child who recognizes this blessing of Allah, from the greatest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's an incentive for parents to be righteous. Perchance that Allah Azza wa Jalla will guide their children, and it's an incentive for children to be righteous and to thank Allah Azza wa Jalla for the righteousness of their parents. And from the rahmah of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the blessing, as we will come to inshallah when we come to Surah At-Tur and those surahs, when Allah speaks about the blessings of Jannah, is that Allah will reunite parents with their children in Jannah, even though they may have different levels of actions and deeds. Because that is also from the honors that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives and bestows upon parents and children who follow one another in righteousness and iman.
And to do righteous deeds with which you will be pleased. By helping me to do the type of deed that meets all the prerequisites of being sound and right, and is free of anything that may spoil it. Such is the deed that Allah is pleased with and accepts, and for which He gives reward, and established righteousness among my offspring for me. As he prayed for himself to be righteous, he also prayed for his offspring to be righteous, asking Allah to rectify their condition. He stated that the benefit of the children's righteousness comes back to their parents, because he said, and established righteousness among my offspring for me.
Verily, to make dua not only for your parents, but then your offspring as well, because you want this to continue, this legacy. Your parents, inshallah, were righteous people. Your grandparents were righteous people. So you also want to be righteous, but you want your children and your grandchildren to be righteous. So in this dua, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions the parents, and He mentions descendants, so that He continues. And if you look at the du'as of Ibrahim alayhi salam that Allah mentions in the Quran, one of the major themes in the du'as of Ibrahim is du'a for his offspring. Du'a for his offspring. How much did he make du'a for his children and his descendants? And Allah accepted that. Every single prophet that came after him, including our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they're from the descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah has the power and the ability, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to accept your du'a. So when you make du'a that your children are righteous, they're pious, they're people of salah, people of iman, Allah Azza wa Jal has the power to grant that not only for your children, but your grandchildren and for many generations to come.
Verily I repent to you from sins and acts of disobedience, and I come back to obedience to you. And verily I am one of those who submit to Allah in Islam. Such that is, those who are described here are the ones from whom we will accept their righteous deeds, which are acts of obedience, because they also do other kinds of deeds and overlook their bad deeds. In general terms, they will be among the inhabitants of paradise, so they will attain goodness and what they seek, and evil and what they dislike will be removed from them. A true promise that has been given to them, that is, this promise that we have made to them is a true promise from the one who is truest in speech, who does not break his promise.
وَالَّذِي قَالَ لِوَالِدَيْهِ أُفٍّ لَكُمَا أَتَعِدَانِنِي أَنْ أُخْرَجَ وَقَدْ خَلَتِ الْقُرُونُ مِنْ قَبْلِي وَهُمَا يَسْتَغِيثَانِ اللَّهَ وَيْلَكَ آمِنْ إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ فَيَقُولُ مَا هَذَا إِلَّا أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ
But some say to their parents, "Fie on you both. Are you telling me that I will be brought forth from the grave even though many generations have passed away before me?" They seek Allah's help and say, "Woe to you. Have faith, for the promise of Allah is true." But He says, "This is nothing but tales of ancients."
أولئك الذين حق عليهم القول في أمم قد خلت من قبلهم من الجن والإنس إنهم كانوا خاسرين.
Such are the ones for whom the punishment becomes inevitable, as happened to nations of jinn and men who came before them, for indeed they are all losers.
وَلِكُلٍّ دَرَجَاتٌ مِّمَّا عَمِلُوا وَلِيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ
For all there will be ranks according to their deeds, so that Allah may pay them in full for their deeds, and no one will be wronged. Having mentioned the situation of the righteous one who honors his parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now tells us the situation of the one who is disobedient to his parents. And that is the worst of situations.
So this is the second group of people now who dishonor their parents, they disobey their parents. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will mention the most extreme example of disobedience and disrespect, and that is those who turn away from the religion of their parents in Islam. Their parents call them to Allah, call them to Iman, call them to belief, and they turn away. And so if you have a family of children upon Iman, they're Muslims, thank Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's from the greatest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in this time that we live in today, where we can't take it for granted that us or our children or our descendants necessarily are upon Islam. It's an amazing blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there are many who will turn away, as Allah Azza wa Jalla will mention now in these verses.
This is a great act of kindness and the best thing that the parents can do for their child, to call him to that which leads to eternal happiness and bliss. But he responds in the worst manner and says, "Fie on you both." That is, may you perish, you and what you have brought. Then he explains why he thinks that unlikely rejecting this idea. Are you telling me that I will be brought forth from the grave on the day of resurrection, even though many generations have passed away before me? That is, many generations have passed away who were disbelievers, following the path of disbelief, and they were the leaders for every stubborn, ignorant disbeliever.
And so this is what how he responds. The child responds by disbelieving, by turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that is from the greatest of, or the greatest type of dishonor towards one's parents when they call them to Allah azza wa jal. And this is something which we see in the Quran. Allah azza wa jal told us, as we mentioned previously in the tafsir of Surah Hud, in the story of Nuh alayhi salam. Nuh's son disbelieves, turns away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a prophet of Allah, and his son is a disbeliever. And so it's something which happens, and that's why from the du'as of Ibrahim alayhi salam, as we mentioned that Allah mentions in Surah Al-Baqarah, that he would often make du'a for his descendants, is that he would say, رَبَّنَا وَجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمِينِ لَكْ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكْ. Oh Allah, make us believers in you, Muslims to you, and from our progeny, our offspring, a nation of Muslims. So you make du'a to Allah Azza wa Jalla that Allah keeps your family upon Islam.
They, namely his parents, seek Allah's help in dealing with him, and they say to him, woe to you, have faith. That is, they do their utmost in trying hard to guide him, to the extent that in their keenness for him to be guided, they seek the help of Allah, like one who is drowning, asking for him in desperation, trying to convince their son and feeling sad for him, trying to explain the truth to him. Hence they say, for the promise of Allah is true. Then they present whatever evidence they can to him. But their son only increases in stubbornness, aversion, arrogance towards the truth and speaking ill of it. But he says, this is nothing but tales of the ancients. It is only something that was transmitted from the books of the earlier generations. It is not from Allah, and Allah did not reveal it to his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everyone knows that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was unlettered and could neither read nor write and did not learn from anyone. So where did he learn it from? How could people produce something like this Quran even if they came together to do so? Such are the ones, that is, the ones who are in this blameworthy state, for whom the punishment becomes inevitable. That is, they deserve the punishment, as happened to nations of jinn and men who came before them, who followed the path of disbelief and rejection. So these people will be included with them and will disappear in their midst. For indeed, they are all losers. Loss means losing one's capital. For if a man loses his capital, it is more apt that he should lose the profits thereon. They have lost faith and did not attain any bliss, nor were they safe from the punishment of hell. For all, that is, for both good and evil people, there will be ranks according to their deeds. That is, for each one, according to his level of good or evil, the ranks in the hereafter will be according to their deeds. Hence Allah says, so that Allah may pay them in full for their deeds, and no one will be wronged by having anything added to their deeds or anything subtracted from their deeds, from their good deeds.
وَيَوْمَ يُعْرَضُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَلَى النَّارِ أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمُ الدُّنْيَا وَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهَا فَالْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونِ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَكْبِرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَبِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَفْسُقُونَ.
On the day when those who disbelieved are brought before the fire, it will be said to them, you had your share of good things in the life of the previous world, and you had your fill of pleasure. Today you will be recompensed with a humiliating punishment because you behaved arrogantly on earth without justification and because you acted rebelliously. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the state of the disbelievers when they are brought before the fire and rebuked and chastised. It will be said to them, you had your share of good deeds in the life of the previous world when you felt...
You had your share
of good things in the life of the previous world when you felt content with the world, were deceived by its pleasures and were pleased with its desires. Its good thing distracted you from striving for your hereafter and you enjoyed it in the manner of grazing animals. That was your share and you have no share of the hereafter.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the people of the fire, when they're being punished on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah will say to them that you took your blessings, your reward, you took it in the dunya. Your comfort, your ease, your rest, you took it in the dunya. So on this day, meaning the day of judgment, there will be no comfort and rest for you. And that's something which you find in the Quran and the Sunnah. If you want to rest in the dunya, you're going to enjoy yourself, you're going to follow your desires and so on. Then on Yawm al-Qiyamah, you will be made to work and you will be punished for that rest that you had if it's an exclusion of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as for the believers, they work hard in the dunya trying to achieve the reward of Allah Azza wa Jal. They spend their life dedicated to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They go through, they show patience, they strive, they put forth all of their best efforts so that they may rest in the akhirah. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jal, often when He describes the people of Jannah in Jannah, He describes them as reclining on couches, resting in a state of comfort, because their hard work was in the dunya. So Allah will give them rest in the akhirah. And as for those who rest in the dunya, they don't obey Allah, they don't do any of the obligations of Allah, they will be made to work in the akhirah, but in the form of the punishment of the fire. May Allah save us from that.
Today you will be recompensed with a humiliating punishment. That is a severe punishment that will humiliate you and expose you to shame, because you used to say of Allah that which was not true. For you used to attribute to Allah and to His decree the path of misguidance that you were following, but you were lying when you said that. And because you acted rebelliously and were too arrogant to obey Allah, thus they combined speaking words of falsehood, acting upon falsehood, telling lies against Allah by attributing their falsehood to Him, casting aspersions upon the truth, and being too arrogant to follow it. So they will be given the most severe of punishments. وَاذْكُرْ أَخَا عَادٍ إِذْ أَنذَرَ قَوْمَهُ بِالْأَحْقَافِ وَقَدْ خَلَتِ النُّذُرُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا اللَّهَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا اللَّهَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. Remember the brother of Ad, namely Hud, when he warned his people in the land of Al-Ahqaf. And indeed, there came warners before them and after him, saying, "Do not worship any but Allah. Verily, I fear for you the punishment of a momentous day." قالوا أجئتنا لتأفكنا عن آلهتنا فأتنا بما تعدنا إن كنت من الصادقين. They said, "Have you come to lure us away from our gods? Bring us that with which you are threatening us, if you are telling the truth."
قال إنما العلم عند الله وأبلغكم ما أرسلت به ولكني أراكم قوما تجهلون.
He said, "Knowledge of when it will come is only with Allah. I only convey to you the message with which I have been sent. But I see that you are ignorant people."
فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ عَارِضًا مُسْتَقْبِلَ أَوْدِيَتِهِمْ قَالُوا هَذَا عَارِضٌ مُمْطِرُنَا بَلْ هُوَ مَا اسْتَعْجَلْتُمْ بِهِ رِيحٌ فِيهَا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ.
When they saw it, the punishment as a cloud approaching their valleys, they said, "This is a cloud bringing us rain." Hud said, "Nay, rather it is that which you sought to hasten, a wind bearing a painful punishment."
تدمر كل شيء بأمر ربها فأصبحوا لا يرى إلا مساكنهم كذلك نجزي القوم المجرمين.
It will destroy everything by the command of its Lord, and they became such that there was nothing left to be seen except their empty dwellings. Thus we requite the evildoers.
وَلَقَدْ مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِيمَا إِن مَكَّنَّاكُمْ فِيهِ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ سَمْعًا وَأَبْصَارًا وَأَفْئِدَةً فَمَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُمْ سَمْعُهُمْ وَلَا أَبْصَارُهُمْ وَلَا أَفْئِدَتُهُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِذْ كَانُوا يَجْحَدُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَحَاقَ بِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ."
We gave them power and prosperity to an extent to which we did not give it to you, O Quraysh. And we gave them hearing, sight, and intellect. But neither their hearing, nor their sight, nor their intellect was of any avail to them. For they used to reject the signs of Allah, and the very thing punishment they used to ridicule overwhelmed them. Remember, that is, by way of praise, the brother of Ad, namely Hud, alayhi salam, who was one of the noble messengers whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed by making them callers to his religion who guided people towards him. When he warned his people, namely Ad, in the land of Al-Ahqaf, that is, in their dwellings that were known as Al-Ahqaf, a word which refers to an area where there is a great deal of sand in the land of Yemen.
Akha Ad, the brother of Ad, is Hud alayhi salatu wasalam, and is referred to as their brother, as he often is in the Quran, because he's from the same nation. So he's a brother to them by way of nation, not a brother in their faith or in their religion, but a brother in terms of him being from the same tribe, from the same nation. And the land that they lived in is Al-Ahqaf, as we said, a place in Yemen. And the prophets Hud, or the nations of Ad and Thamud and Madian, so the nations of these three prophets, Hud, Salih, and Shu'aib, alayhim salatu wasalam, were Arabs. They were Arab nations. And so the people of Hud were Arabs. So when the people of Hud were destroyed, as we mentioned before, then they went and the people that survived from them, the remnants of them, they went and they settled in the land of Thamud. And so these people were Arabs, and they were Arab tribes. So they lived in Yemen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions their story here once again, the people of Ad, but this time in terms of the punishment that Allah azza wa jal would send upon them when they rejected the message of Hud alayhi salam.
And indeed, there came warners before him and after him. So he was not the first among them and was no different from them. He said to them, "Do not worship any but Allah. Verily, I fear for you the punishment of a momentous day." Thus he instructed them to worship Allah, which includes all good words and praiseworthy deeds. And he forbade them to ascribe partners to Allah or make others equal to him. And he warned them if they did not obey him of the severe punishment. But this call was to no avail in their case. They said, "Have you come to lure us away from our gods? That is, you have no other aim, and there is no truth in what you say. You are envying us for what we have, of gods, and you want to turn us away from them. Bring us that with which you are threatening us, if you are telling the truth. That is the utmost ignorance and stubbornness." He said, "Knowledge of when it will come is only with Allah, for it is He in whose hand is control of all things, and it is He who will bring you the punishment of if he so wills. I only convey to you the message with which I have been sent. That is, my only responsibility is to convey the message clearly. But I see that you are ignorant people. Therefore, you did what you did of showing extreme audacity. So Allah sent against them the severe punishment, namely the wind that destroyed them utterly. Hence he says, when they saw it, the punishment as a cloud approaching their valleys, that is, it appeared like a cloud that came towards the valleys that would provide water with which they would irrigate their land and drink from their wells and streams. They said optimistically, this is a cloud bringing us rain. That is, this cloud will give us rain.
What is the punishment of the people of Ad? The people of Ad were told by their prophet that they will be destroyed by Hud alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah sent upon them a drought and a famine that lasted a number of days. And so because they were in extreme thirst, and they were extreme, and Hud alayhi salam told them that after this drought and famine, you're going to be destroyed. So they had a drought and famine, and then they saw clouds, dark clouds coming. They mistook them, they saw those clouds, they thought they were rain clouds. So they began to rejoice, and they began to ridicule Hud. And they said, "Hud, you promised us punishment, but look, the rain's here. Shows that you're a liar, shows that you were false." And so Allah azza wa jal will mention here now, He will say, no, those dark rain clouds were not clouds that were filled with rain, but rather they were clouds that are filled with punishment.
Hud said, "Nay, rather it is that which you sought to hasten. That is, this is what you have brought upon yourselves when you said, 'Bring us that with which you are threatening us.' If you are telling the truth, a wind bearing a painful punishment, it will destroy everything that it passes over because of its intensity and destructive power. Allah sent it against them for 7 nights and 8 days in succession, so that you would have seen the people lying lifeless as if they were the trunks of fallen palm trees. By the command of its Lord, that is, by his leave and his will, and they became such that there was nothing left to be seen except their empty dwellings. that is their flocks, their wealth, and they themselves were destroyed. Thus we requite the evildoers because of their sin and wrongdoing.
So when they came and they rejoiced and said, this is the rain clouds that are coming, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, no, it's the punishment that would come. And they had a severe wind. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in Surah Al-Haqa that wind lasted for 7 days and 8 nights. It continued to destroy them until there was nothing left, as Allah mentions here, except their dwellings. All you could see is the buildings. But as for the people, one of them were dead. Allah destroyed all of them except for the believers. And that is why in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if a strong wind came or dark clouds approached, she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would become upset, he would become agitated. So she said, O Messenger of Allah, people see rain clouds, they're happy. You see them, you become agitated. He said, O Aisha, there were nations before us that were destroyed by clouds like this. Until Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed in the Quran that this ummah wouldn't be destroyed in such a way. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that they wouldn't be destroyed in that way. But it shows also the level of contemplation that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had in the Quran. Because how often do you see those things that bring rahmah from Allah, mercy, that can also at the same time bring punishment. Rain is a mercy from Allah, but too much rain and it floods and it destroys. The wind, the breeze, it's nice. It's something which is a mercy, but too strong becomes a tornado or hurricane. It destroys. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can use blessings for some people and make them into forms of punishment. The fire, something which is nice, it's good, has many, many benefits, but the fire can also destroy and consume. And so Allah Azza wa Jal can use what is the blessing for one people, use that as a punishment for other people. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood.
Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed great blessings upon them, they did not give thanks to Him or remember Him. Hence He says, we gave them power and prosperity to an extent to which we did not give to you, O Quraysh. That is, we gave them power and prosperity in the land, so they were helping themselves to its good things and enjoying its pleasures. We made their lives long enough for anyone who might reflect and pay heed to do so, and for anyone who might be guided to follow guidance. In other words, we gave Aad power and prosperity more than we have given to you, O Quraysh. So do not think that what we have bestowed upon you has never been given to anyone else, or that it will protect you from the punishment of Allah at all. Rather, others were given more power and prosperity than you, but their wealth, sons, and troops did not avail them before Allah in the slightest. And we gave them hearing, sight, and intellect. That is, there was no shortcoming in their hearing, sight, or intellect, such that it could be said that they neglected the truth out of ignorance and were unable to learn about it. There was nothing wrong with their reasoning, but guidance is in the hand of Allah. But neither their hearing, nor their sight, nor their intellect was of any avail to them at all. That is because they used to reject the signs of Allah that appointed to His oneness and indicated that He alone is to be worshipped. And the very thing, punishment, they used to ridicule, overwhelmed them. That is, there befell them the punishment that they denied would happen, and they ridiculed the messengers who warned them of it.
وَلَقَدْ أَهْلَكْنَا مَا حَوْلَكُمْ مِنَ الْقُرَى وَصَرَّفْنَا الْآيَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ.
Indeed, we destroyed the cities that were around you, O Quraysh, having given them a variety of signs so they might turn back from their evil ways.
فَلَوْلَا نَصَرَهُمُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ قُرْبَانًا آلِهَةً بَلْ ضَلُّوا عَنْهُمْ وَذَٰلِكَ إِفْكُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا يَفْتَرُونَ.
Why then was no help forthcoming to them from those whom they took as gods besides Allah, so that they might bring them closer to Him? Nay, they were lost from them. Such was the outcome of their lie and fabrication they used to invent. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns the polytheist Arabs and others by mentioning the destruction of the disbelieving nations who had lived around them, around their land. In fact, many of them had lived in the Arabian Peninsula itself, such as Ad, Thamud, and others.
So this is a warning to Quraysh. Quraysh are being told that you're not the first group of people to be sent a message into from the Arabs, nor are you from the first of those people to be destroyed if you reject the prophets and messengers of Allah. And that's why the author says that around the Arabian Peninsula, there were prophets and messengers, Ad, Thamud, Madian, they were all in the Arabian Peninsula. But even beyond that, the prophets that were sent to Asham, to places like Jerusalem, it's not very far from the Arabs. The Arabs used to go and travel there and do trade in Asham. They used to go to those places and buy and sell. So they knew That's the land of prophets, Hashem. Many of the prophets of Allah were sent there. So they were aware and familiar of these prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent various signs to them of different types so that they might turn back from their evil ways. That is, so that they might give up their ways of disbelief and rejection. But because they did not believe, Allah seized them with the vehement grip of one who is Almighty, Omnipotent. And their gods upon whom they called besides, Allah did not help them in the slightest. Hence Allah says here, why then was no help forthcoming to them from those whom they took as gods besides Allah, so that they might bring them closer to Him, and because they hoped that they would benefit them. Nay, they were lost from them, so they did not respond to them or protect them. Such was the outcome of their lie and the fabrication they used to invent by way of wishful thinking, as they claimed that they were following the truth and that their deeds would benefit them, but they came to naught.
وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِّنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ فَلَمَّا حَضَرُوهُ قَالُوا أَنصِتُوا فَلَمَّا قُضِيَ وَلَّوْا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِمْ مُنذِرِينَ
And remember when we sent a group of jinn to you to listen to the Qur'an. When they were close enough to hear, they said to one another, listen attentively, and when the recitation was over, they went back to their people to warn them.
قَالُوا يَا قَوْمَنَا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا كِتَابًا أُنزِلَ مِن بَعْدِ مُوسَى مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ يَهْدِي مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْحَقِّ وَإِلَى طَرِيقٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ
They said, O our people, verily we have heard recitation from a book that has been revealed after Musa, confirming that which came before it, guiding to the truth and to a straight path.
يَا قَوْمَنَا أَجِيبُوا دَاعِيَ اللَّهِ وَآمِنُوا بِهِ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ مِنْ ذُنُوبِكُمْ وَيُجِرْكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ
O our people, respond to the one who is calling to Allah and believe in Him, so that Allah may forgive you of some of your sins and protect you from a painful punishment.
وَمَنْ لَا يُجِبْ دَاعِيَ اللَّهِ فَلَيْسَ بِمُعْجِزٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءُ أُولَٰئِكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ
And whoever does not respond to one who is calling to Allah can never escape Allah's punishment on earth, and besides Him, He has no protectors. Such people are clearly misguided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to all of creation, both humans and jinn, and He had to convey to all the message of His prophethood. As for humans, He was able to call them and warn them. As for the jinn, Allah sent them to Him by His might. He sent to Him a group of jinn to listen to the Qur'an. When they were close enough to hear it, they said to one another, listen attentively. That is, they urged one another to listen attentively. And when the recitation was over and they had understood it and it had had an impact on them, they went back to their people to warn them out of sincerity towards them, and so as to establish the proof of Allah against them. Allah made them a help to His messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in spreading His call among the jinn.
And this is mentioned, this incident of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reading the Quran and the jinn overhearing him and then taking iman and going back to their people and telling them about the Quran. It's mentioned in a number of narrations, such as the narration of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and others. And even though those narrations don't necessarily speak about this particular passage, we know from the Sunnah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would read Quran and the jinn would come, especially at the beginning when he was first given the message of Islam. Because before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the jinn, as Allah mentions, would go to the heavens, and they would steal from the news of the heavens. So when Allah subhanahu wa taala decided to send the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the stars would shooting stars would come, and they would attack those devils, so they couldn't take from the news of the heavens. So when the devils, the jinn, they came amongst themselves, they said that something must have happened in order for this to take place. This is concerning the devils, the shayateen. And so, and not necessarily the jinn, the shayateen. And so they went and they dispersed across the earth until they came across the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hearing and listening to the Quran. As for the jinn, this particular incident, it's mentioned in the statement of Ibn Mas'ud, the narration of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anh, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought him to a place and he told him to wait there, Ibn Mas'ud. And then he went sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he spoke to the jinn and he gave them da'wah, he called them to Islam. And so that's one of the incidents that takes place. And even today, if you were to go to Mecca, there's a masjid in Mecca called Masjidul Jinn. Anyone that's been to Mecca and you've been on one of those ziyarah trips, they'll take you around Mecca and show you the different sites. One of the places that you will pass by is Masjidul Jinn. It's a masjid today. But it said that that was the place where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the places anyway, that he went and he gave da'wah to the jinn. So Allah azza wa jalla is mentioning here how these jinn, because amongst the jinn, there are believers and unbelievers. There's good jinn and there's bad jinn, just like in humans. So Allah azza wa jalla is mentioning here the story of these jinn that believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they went back to their people, telling them also to believe.
They said, O our people, verily we have heard recitation from a book that has been revealed after Musa. Because the book of Musa was the basis for the gospel, and it was their main reference for the children of Israel with regard to religious rulings. As for the gospel, it complemented and completed the book of Musa and trained a few rulings. Confirming that which came before it, namely the book that we have mentioned confirms that which came before it, guiding to the truth, that is, leading to what is sound and correct in terms of teachings and stories, and to a straight path, that is, it leads to Allah and to His paradise, based on knowledge of Allah and of His religious rulings and rulings that have to do with requital in the hereafter. Having praised the Quran and highlighted its sublime status, They then called their fellow jinn to believe in it, saying, O our people, respond to the one who is calling to Allah, that is, the one who is not calling to any but his Lord. He is not calling you for some ulterior motive or on the basis of his own whims and desires. Rather, he is calling you to your Lord so that he may reward you and remove from you all evils and harms. Hence, they said, so that Allah may forgive you some of your sins and protect you from a painful punishment. For if He protects you from the painful punishment, there can be nothing after that but bliss. This is the reward of those who respond to the one who is calling to Allah. And whoever does not respond to the one who is calling to Allah can never escape Allah's punishment on earth. For Allah has power over all things, so no one can escape Him or overcome Him. And besides Him, He has no protectors. Such people are clearly misguided. And what misguidance can be greater than that of one whom the messengers call and the warning reaches him on the basis of clear signs and abundant proof, that he turns away and is too arrogant to pay heed?
أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَلَمْ يَعْيَ بِخَلْقِهِنَّ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يُحْيِيَ الْمَوْتَى بلى إنه على كل شيء قدير.
Do they not see that Allah, who created the heavens and the earth and was not wearied by their creation, is able to bring the dead to life? Verily, He has power over all things. This offers evidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to bring them back to life after death by referring to something that is greater than that, namely the fact that it is He who created the heavens and the earth, despite their greatness and vastness, and the precision of their creation, without that leading to Him feeling tired as a result of creating them. So how could He be incapable of bringing you back to life after your death, when He has power over all things?
وَيَوْمَ يُعْرَضُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا عَلَى النَّارِ أَلَيْسَ هَذَا بِالْحَقِّ قَالُوا بَلَى وَرَبِّنَا قال فذوقوا العذاب بما كنتم تكفرون.
On the day when those who disbelieved are brought before the fire, it will be said to them, is this not the truth? They will say, yes indeed, by our Lord. He will say, taste then the punishment for having disbelieved.
فاصبر كما صبر أولو العزم من الرسل وما تستعجل لهم ولا تستعجل لهم كأنهم يوم يرون ما يوعدون لم يلبثوا إلا ساعة من نهار بلاغ فهل يهلك إلا القوم الفاسقون.
So be patient as the messengers of strong resolve were patient, and do not seek to hasten the punishment for them on the day when they see the punishment of which they were warned. It will be as if they had not remained in this world for longer than an hour of a day. This Quran is sufficient reminder. Will any then be doomed by the rebellious and wicked people? Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of the terrible situation of the disbelievers when they will be brought to the fire that they disbelieved in. They will be rebuked and it will be said to them, "Is this not the truth? Here it is before you. You can see it with your own eyes." They will say, "Yes, indeed, by our Lord." They will acknowledge their sins and their lies, namely their denial of the punishment will become apparent. He will say, "Taste then the punishment for having disbelieved. That is an eternal, everlasting punishment, as your disbelief was a constant and well-enriched characteristic of yours."
One of the benefits of this verse is that the people of the fire, or the disbelievers on the day of judgment, will believe. So those people who rejected Qiyamah and the resurrection on the day of judgment, they will accept that there's a resurrection. Those people who denied the fire, as Allah mentions here, Allah will say, "Isn't this true?" They will say, "Yes," they will believe, they will accept. But at that point, it is too late to believe and to accept. To say, and as Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions also in the Quran, that they will say, "Oh Allah, now we believe, now we accept, now we will worship you." And Allah will say, "It's too late now to take iman after you lived in the dunya in a life of disbelief." And so Allah Azza wa Jalla, as He mentions here, then they will be made to taste the punishment, meaning that they will be thrown into the fire.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be patient in putting up with the harm of the disbelievers who opposed him, and to keep calling them to Allah, emulating the patience of the messengers of firm resolve and leaders of humankind, men of high ambition whose patience was immense and whose faith was perfect, for they are most deserving of being taken as examples, to follow in their footsteps and be guided by their beacon.
Allah Azza wa Jalla commands the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to show the same level of resolve and patience as the messengers of firm resolve and patience before him. And they are who? Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, and Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam. And with our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that makes five. These are the prophets of firm resolve. Where do we take this from? From the hadith of Shafa'a, on the day of judgment, when the people will go to the different prophets to intercede. These are the prophets that they go to with an extra one. Because the first one that they go to, there's six in total in that hadith. The first one they go to is Adam. Then Nuh, then Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Adam isn't included in them, because Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran in Surah Taha, "Walam najid lahu azma," and he didn't have a strong resolve. Why? Because Adam at his time, there's no disbelievers. All of his children are Muslims. There's only iman. There's no disbelief. Him, his children, they were created upon iman, so they're upon iman. So he didn't have to fight with the disbelievers. There were no opponents to him. So he had only believers at his time. But after the time of Nuh, those five prophets, they were the most severe in terms of having to fight oppression and fight against their nations and the harm that they were trying to cause to them.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam obeyed the command of his Lord and was patient as no prophet before him had ever been. His opponents united against him and all strove hard to divert him from calling people to Allah, doing their utmost to oppose him and fight him. But he persisted in obeying the command of Allah and never wearied of striving against the enemies of Allah, bearing with patience whatever harm he faced, until Allah granted him victory in the land and caused his religion to prevail over all others, and his ummah to prevail over all other nations. May the blessings and peace of Allah be upon him. And do not seek to hasten the punishment for them. That is, these disbelievers who seek to hasten the punishment for themselves, for that stems from ignorance and foolishness on their part. Do not let their ignorance discourage you, and do not let what you see of them seeking to hasten the punishment lead you to pray to Allah against them, to hasten it for them. For everything that is coming is imminent, and when it comes, it will be as if they had not remained in this world for longer than an hour of a day. So do not be upset by the little enjoyment that they have in this world when they will end up facing a terrible punishment. This mighty Quran, in which we have explained the message perfectly, is enough for you, and is sufficient provision for you during your journey to the hereafter. What a good provision it is. that will help you to reach the realm of joy and protect you from the painful punishment. It is the best provision that Allah has granted to people and the greatest blessing that He has bestowed upon them. Will any then be doomed to punishment but the rebellious and wicked people? That is, those in whom there is nothing good, for they refused to obey their Lord and they did not accept the truth that the messengers brought to them. Allah warned them and left them with no excuse, but they persisted in their rejection and disbelief. We ask Allah to protect us. This is the end of the commentary of Surah Al-Ahqaf. All praise and thanks are for Allah, and may the blessings and peace of Allah be upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family and his companions abundantly until the Day of Judgment.
So with that, the conclusion of Surah Al-Ahqaf, we come to the end of also today's lesson. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.